Thank you, brother. Amen. Thank you. Thank you for worshiping with us here this morning. This is what Pastor Chris said. I just echo that. Thank you for taking the time to be here this morning. If it is your first time, I want to encourage you. I'll be at this back door. I'd love the opportunity to meet you after the service. And then right outside the door to the right is our welcome center. If you stop by there, fill out one of those connection cards. We'd love to just personally thank you for worshiping with us here at Grace Point Church. Also online, we have a lot of people still watch this live stream. So grateful that you've joined us also on our live stream this morning. Thank you for being here. 11 o'clock service. The Cowboys kick at noon, so it's all a little bit lighter in here at 11. So the godly have showed up. No, most of them, though, we had great first and second service, so I got to give the rest of them credit for coming. They just came earlier than normal. So let me share a couple announcements with you, then we're going to jump into Colossians chapter 4, verse 5 and 6. So we're going verse by verse through the book of Colossians, and we're turning toward home here as Paul is in this letter, and we're finishing this end of November, then December, we'll start a new series just for that month. So in just a moment, Colossians 4, 5, and 6, four things today I'm going to give you. Four things, four takeaways for you to take with you that I pray the Lord will press on your heart this morning as we study the scriptures in just a moment. Let me share a couple announcements. First of all, Fall Festival last Sunday night. Huge thank you to all of you that were involved in that and came and ministered and served. It's a big event we do for our community and our church every year. We had a lot of people, just a ton of people from our community that came, and we were thankful for that. When it's all said and done, we were right at 2,000 people, which is the biggest one we've had, usually around 1,500, biggest one we've had ever. So it was a great turnout. Thank you to all of you that were there and were part of it and served and ministered to people. Julie Richardson, who leads our preschool children's ministry, Wendy Roscoe, Christy Dorman, they all lead that ministry. So they did a great job in organizing that. And you did a great job, Grace Point Church, in stepping up and volunteering and ministering to people. So thank you for that great ministry event. Next on the list, next coming up is Coats for the Cold. December the 4th, Saturday, 9 to 12. This is an event we do every year. The vision this year is to give away 3,000 coats to people in the city of Denton that need a coat for the cold. We've done 2,000 the last few years, and so we feel like we can do more and we need to do more. It's going to be bigger than we've done. We want to try to broaden our influence, connecting more with schools and homeless shelters, Salvation Army. We're sending out a big mailer to people in our community to let them know, and we're partnering with Casa Adobes also that they will be a part of this with us. And so the goal, the vision is to give away 3,000 coats. So continue to bring the coats. You do great at that. We've got a container we dropped outside the back of the church. We're putting all 3,000 coats in there, and it's filling up. So if you have coats around, around your house that you say, hey, we can take that one up and give that away to somebody who's in need, please continue to bring those up throughout the month of November. We need those coats to be able to get them in the hands of people that need them. So that's coming next Sunday. We'll talk about how you can be involved, how you can sign up and be involved in that ministry event. It's going to be a great ministry event. And then third, Great is Thy Faithfulness Sunday. So each Sunday we've been taking just a special focus on a particular Sunday. So this month, Sunday, November 21st, Great is Thy Faithfulness. Everything in the service will be built around the faithfulness of God and my message and the songs, kind of like we did last month when our focus was hope and healing. So my presupposition, my thinking is that as we look at the faithfulness of God, which we will do that day, it makes us even more thankful for God. It's the Sunday before Thanksgiving, so it's a great time to come together to thank God for all that he's done in, for us as a church, but also as family. So I hope you'll make plans to worship with us. Great is Thy Faithfulness, November 21. And then Christmas series starts December 5. Hope has a name. Each Sunday I'll take a name of Jesus and I'll preach on and teach on that name, and I'll tie that name into the Christmas story in the Christmas season as we look at names all each Sunday. So three Sundays, and then we're at Christmas Eve, leading up to Christmas Eve. So all four of those in the Christmas Eve service we'll be talking, kind of finishing that series, Hope Has a Name. So I hope you'll make plans now to join us. We'll talk more about that and a couple of other events, ministry events that are coming up in November. But let's talk about that next week because there's so much we've been talking about already today. All right, Colossians chapter 4, verse 5 and 6. I want to read the scripture passages that I'm going to share with you, four takeaways that you can, some these things you can take with you, and then I pray the Lord just presses into your heart these truths. So Colossians 4, 5, and 6, verse by verse, we're at verse 5, walk in wisdom toward outsiders, making the best use of the time. Let your speech always be gracious, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how you ought to answer each person. Now, the last part of that verse is very important. The last part of that verse tells you the intent of everything he's just said, and that is evangelism. That's the intent of this. What he's saying is I'm going to summarize the whole message right here. He's saying we must walk right before God, and we must speak well before him. When we do that, God will give us the opportunity to share the hope that we have with him. Now, the key, you look at the last part of verse 6 where it says, so that you may know how you ought to answer each person. So I think answer is the implication is that somebody's asked you. And the reason they've asked you is because you've done what the scriptures say. You're walking well and you speak well. So in other words, how you walk, your faith, we're going to talk about this, and then how you speak, what comes out of your mouth, points to the hope that you have in Christ, right? It points to your faith. So it's consistent with Christ followers, and that raises the interest of people around you in an unbelieving world, and so they then ask you, what is it about? Sometimes it's like something different. What is it about you? Well, you speak about church, you speak about prayer, you speak about Jesus. Tell me about that. That's the answer part. So that's the positive. When we walk well and we speak right, we have an opportunity to answer those who ask us about our hope in Christ. Now, the inverse is also true. When you don't walk well, and when the words that come out of your mouth are just like the unbelieving world, nobody's going to be asking you about your faith in Jesus. They're going to say, you're just like those people. They're not going to ask you anything. And so it's important for us to grab a hold and understand in the context of evangelism that how we live and the things we say have great influence, certainly for the gospel. But I want to show you also just not only to outsiders. So when he talks about outsiders, he's talking about people who don't know God. But I'm also going to show you, and that's the true context of this, but I also want to show you how it impacts everybody and not just outsiders. So there are four things I share with you today. Takeaway number one, verse by verse. He says, be wise toward outsiders. So walk in wisdom. Be wise. And he's talking again about those who do not know God. So that's the original, I think that's the heart, that's the context of this. Be wise toward outsiders. Walk in wisdom toward outsiders, making the best use of the time. I've said this to you before, but let me just remind you. There are five Gospels. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and you. And most people don't read the first four. So that means they're looking to you. Which is another reason Paul is saying, walk in wisdom, my friends. Be gracious with your words towards lost people, people who don't know Christ. And if you will, they'll ask you a question about the hope that you have. And then you have an opportunity to share your hope with them. So be wise toward outsiders with how you walk. Now he used the word walk in wisdom. So walk is the Jewish way of talking, speaking about leading a way of life. So for us, it's a walk is our faith in Christ, how we choose to live. I might say, hey, how's your walk? You know, I'm referencing, if I'm talking to another believer, referencing, how's your faith? How's your Christian life? How's it going? How is your fellowship with God? How is your walk? And then Ephesians chapter, don't take time to turn there, but Ephesians chapter 2, Paul talks about the same thing, about our walk before Christ. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1 and 2, and you were, this is pre-Christ, before you received Christ, and you were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked. So how you lived. Following the course of the world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience. So when Paul talks about, he's saying, and we must walk the talk, what we say we believe, that must be lived out before this unbelieving world. J. Vernon McGee, who is an author, says it this way. He says, walking is not a balloon ascension. A great many people think the Christian life is some great, overwhelming experience, and you take off like a rocket going into space. That's not where you live the Christian life. Rather, it's lived in your home, in your office, in the schoolroom, and on the street. The way you get around in this life is to walk. And so you are to walk in Christ, walk in wisdom. So when we say walk in wisdom, when he says that, then I like to just ask myself, so what does that mean then? What does that look like? How do I know if I'm doing that? So I'm going to give you four things, not on your outline, not on the screen behind me, just to bring clarity to walking in wisdom. So what does that look like and what does that mean? So first of all, number one, it means that we are careful. Walking in wisdom means that we are careful not to say or do anything that would make it difficult to share the gospel with the people around us, especially unbelievers. So don't do or anything that would hinder my witness when I come to sharing the gospel. That's one way of walking in wisdom. Second, wisdom is more than facts. It's somewhat of a feel for how to use what the gospel in terms of for God's purposes. It has a nose for the timing and tone and the touch. It's a gift from God. We should pray for it with faith, this wisdom. So we pray for wisdom. Number three, wisdom is knowing what to do for the glory of God when the rule book runs out. It's knowing how to become all things to all men without compromising holiness and truth. It's creativity, truth, thoughtfulness. It's having a feel for the moment, having an eye for what people need and want. Again, we're talking only in the context of sharing the gospel with people. And then how it impacts our life. This last one, wisdom, is being able to take the truth from God's words. When we talk about biblical wisdom is taking the truth from God's word, which you're talking about today, which the Spirit of God reveals to you, which I always pray happens today, and then applying that truth to any given situation. That's wisdom, taking the truth from the word of God. As the Spirit of God reveals to you in your heart and mind the truth, and then you apply it. You take it to your married life. You take it to your work life. You take the word of God and you apply it to your life. That is wisdom. So he says, walk in wisdom. I mean, you're walking in the truth of the scriptures. That's what he's talking about. And people are seeing that around you. Now, that then leads us to the last part of verse 6. It gives us opportunities then to be evangelistic and to share the hope that we have. So it starts with our behavior and what people see. And we have to remember this at Grace Point Church for us. We have to recognize, we have to remember that our faith is an evangelistic faith. Our faith is an evangelistic faith. I like what one writer says. Listen to this. He says, from time to time in the life of the church, there needs to be a wake-up call to some simple and central and basic things. One of them is these. Christianity is a converting religion. It is evangelistic. It is persuasive and expansive. It is missionary. It's not coercive. It does not use the sword, manipulation, or brainwashing, but it does proclaim, persuade, plead, and pray. And where this is not believed and practiced, Christianity ceases to be Christianity and starts to become another religion with another king who no longer says, I am God Almighty. So our faith is an evangelistic faith. He goes on to say, Christianity is a soul-winning, outreaching, mind-persuading, heart-entreating, rescuing, missionary faith, or it is not true Christianity. We need to be reminded of this because it is almost incredible how listless we can become while calling ourselves Christians. If we are not careful, little by little, our whole orientation can become inward. So then as a church, if we're not careful, we turn inward and it's all about us. And we're not evangelistic in reaching beyond ourselves and reaching outside of ourselves. We can become so dull and spiritually callous that we don't even ask if we believe in hell or lostness or the preciousness of Christ and the power of the cross and the freeness of the gospel and the command of Jesus. We just go about our in-house religious business like a medical clinic that sees fewer and fewer patients and has more and more staff meetings until there's nothing left but a smooth running program for the doctors and nurses and their families, but there are no patients. And so our faith is evangelistic. Why is he calling us to walk in wisdom towards outsiders? So we can have that opportunity, right, to then speak of the hope that we have in our life, that we have in Jesus. So number one, the first thing he's saying is, make sure, be wise toward outsiders. Be wise, walk in wisdom. Number two, make the most of every opportunity. That's the next thing he says. Make the most of every opportunity. Walk in wisdom toward outsiders. Make the best use of the time. It literally means to buy up your time, to buy up the time, to buy up the opportunity. There's two things, I think, related to this we need to grab a hold of. Number one, buy up the time to move forward in your faith. So seize the opportunities. You being here is buying up the time and the opportunity for you to move forward in your faith by hearing the word of God taught, and then you applying. Wisdom says you then take that word of God and you apply it, put it into practice in your life. So this is an example of you buying up an opportunity to move forward in your faith. And he's saying make the best use of the time, buy up the opportunity to move forward in your faith. And the second is to advance the gospel. And I think it's the heart of what he's talking about here. He says, look for opportunities around you to advance, to speak the gospel. Make the most of every opportunity. Let's go on, takeaway three for time's sake. Takeaway number three, frame all conversations with grace. Frame all conversations with grace. Verse six, let your speech always be gracious. Ooh, let me read that again. Let your speech always be gracious. Oh, let me read that again. Let your speech always be gracious. Let me just say that one more time. Let your speech always be gracious. There's never a time when it's okay to not be gracious in your speech. Now, I'm not saying we don't speak truth. I'm not saying that. But that we speak words of grace. Now, I think this is the context of relating walking in wisdom. It's how we walk in wisdom and buy up the time relating to outsiders. I think also you bring it inside, though, in the church, in the home, because he says, always be gracious. Let your speech always be gracious, seasoned with salt so that you may know how you ought to answer each person. So he's saying buy up the time through your words. So first through the way you live, your walk, and now buy up the time through your words. So what we say about Jesus, and even just what we say, what comes out of our mouth, what we say about Jesus should be appealing. It should be encouraging. When food is not salted, we don't desire it certainly as much. So our speech, he's saying, should make people desire Jesus, at least pique an interest in him, which would give you an opportunity to share then your faith. Recognize the power of your words, I think is what he's saying, and let them be gracious towards all people. He says always, always be gracious. So those are the two things if you're taking notes. Number one, always be gracious. Now, here's the deal. I think, so contextually, false teachers have come in, Colossians, they're having to deal with them. So as you're speaking truth and answering about why you believe, he's saying be gracious when you're sharing your hope. So it's a good reminder for us when we encounter and we will continue, that when you encounter and dialogue and engage in conversation with people that don't believe the way you believe, this is an opportunity. What Paul is saying is be gracious in your speech. Be gracious. Even if what they're telling you, you think is the most ridiculous thing you've ever heard in your life, don't say that to them. Or if they have a lifestyle that's, you know, completely different than you would ever even think, or whatever it is, this is an opportunity for you, and we should be gracious. As I've said before, let me just remind you, though, that unfortunately, I think that certainly in our culture, and maybe even, you know, among us as believers at times, is we have lost the ability. We are no longer choosing to agree, to disagree, and still love people. It's possible. You know that, right? We can agree to disagree on whatever issue and still love one another. We don't have to agree to disagree and then automatically hate. That's not what we're called to do. So being gracious communicates, you know, even if we agree to disagree, the way in which we do that, we want to do that with grace. Colossians 3:19, I taught on that one, talking about husbands, 18, husbands and wife, and 19, husbands and wife relationship. In verse 19, husbands, love your wives and don't be harsh with them. I taught that a few weeks ago. I think that's primarily driven verbally. I think that's how that happens. It happened back in the day. That's why he's addressing it in Colossians. Still happens today. It can happen certainly non-verbally too, but I think primarily it's our words, right, that we aren't speaking with grace. If you're a guest, just, you know, I have four children and three boys and a girl, and the three boys are a year apart, and my daughter's 2 years older than my oldest boy. And so we had him, they were all fairly close in age. They're older now. But there was a time back in the day, and most of you, I mean, if you have kids my age now, you might remember this. But back in the day, the big thing for my kids, anyway, was Barney the Purple Dinosaur. I mean, Barney was on a lot, right? It was also back in the day when you put the tape in the VCR, if you know what I'm saying, right? So just to remember, I brought a picture of Barney. There he is. There you go. For those of you, you know, most parents, if you have little ones now, you're not sure who Barney is. But this is Barney the Dinosaur. And one of the things I remember about Barney the Dinosaur is he always had songs that usually would try to teach lessons, which is one of the reasons why we like Barney the Dinosaur. Not many others than that. But and one of the songs he taught and he sang was Please and Thank You. They are the magic words. Morning, noon, or night, they're words to be polite. Please and thank you, they are the magic words. Now, why that has stuck into my brain, I'm not sure. It's not hard for me to recall those songs. They're back here. And I think it's because I heard it over and over and over and over again. But we wanted to teach our four, just as you want to teach your children, I'm sure, to be respectful and to say please and thank you, right? We wanted to teach them that. Those are gracious words. And when you would hear them say that to you, that makes you proud, especially if they're asking you, can I please do this? You're like, wow, yes. Or you give them something and they say, thank you, like that. Or if you see them with a teacher at school and they say thank you to the teacher, if they say please to your neighbor, whatever, that makes you proud. Words of grace, please and thank you. Here's my question, though. What happened to us? Adults. Why don't we say that much anymore? Especially, let's go in home. Let's go in the home. I mean, please and thank you, no matter how many years you've been married, those should always be words that flow in your home. Husband to your wife, thank you for this meal. Thank you for this. Thank you for that. And wives, you know, thank you for providing for us. Thank you for this. Thank you for taking the boys. Thank you for the... That I'm afraid what happens is we take each other so much for granted that we aren't speaking words of grace. And even my kids, as they're older, right, and when they're at home, and they still need to hear me speak words of grace to my wife, their mom. They need to hear that. They need to see, it shows respect. It shows grace. They need to. They get that when they see that and when they hear it, but it seems like it just is not prevalent as much with us as adults, but we drive it in our kids. Words of grace, and this is what Paul is saying, is you need to speak, always use, he says, always use words of grace. Ephesians 4, let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for building up, as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. Words of grace. And the second thing on there, he says, is seasoned with salt. That's what he says in that verse. Let your speech always be gracious, seasoned with salt. And then you're going to be so that, okay, it's going to lead to the opportunity to speak the gospel, seasoned with salt. So when we speak of Christ, it needs to be appealing and affirming and attractive, if you will. last month, October, I decided, whew, man, October's going to be my month to eat healthy. I'm going to eat out. When I go out, I'm going to eat healthy. So we were out shopping on a few weeks ago, got hungry, and there was Olive Garden. And so since I was on Eat a Healthy Diet, I thought, let's go to Olive Garden and get fettuccine Alfredo. So we went there because I hear it's super good for my cholesterol. So we went to Olive Garden, and I'd been to Olive Garden like 2 years, and I love going to Olive Garden. And every time I go there, I get the same thing. And so I was pretty excited. So I said, let's go to Olive Garden. I'm going to do it for you, honey. I'll sacrifice. So we went to Olive Garden, and in the spirit of eating healthy, I ordered the fettuccine Alfredo with chicken and extra Alfredo sauce, just because you might as well do that. So, and then in addition to that, of course, you have the Olive Garden breadsticks, you know, that they just dropped right down there. And you remember those things. I mean, those things are warm. They've got their butter, they're soft, there's a little salt on there. This is really getting us, because it's like, it says it's 11:45, but our stomachs say it's 12:45, doesn't it, today? So I mean, they sit those breadsticks down, and fun fact, that night they had buy fettuccine Alfredo, get breadsticks, and then get a free Dr. Pepper. So they brought the Dr. Pepper to me, and I said, okay, I'll take it, extra large. And so we're eating, and this is like, it's been a couple years, and I love. So I ate and ate and ate, and man, whew, it tasted awesome, by the way. It was unbelievable. It was better than it's ever been. So just to even bring it home a little more, I brought a picture. I thought you might want to see it. There it is. Look at that. Man, look at that Alfredo. And there's not quite enough Alfredo sauce on that one, but you can see how appealing that looks, right? It's all for my diet. So, okay, thank you. You can take that one, Dan. Appreciate it. Okay. So maybe you're not an Olive Garden person. Maybe you think, you know, I don't eat Olive Garden. I understand what you're saying, and I thought the same thing. So in order to stay dialed in on the October month of eating healthy, I decided we should go to Babes up in Sanger. So we went to Babes, one of my favorite places. Karen wanted to go there. So we went to Babes. If you want to, I'll sacrifice. So we got to Babes, and you know, when you get to Babes, I get chicken fried steak and mashed potatoes and gravy, and then there's gravy on the steak, and then you put green beans, and they have a little more gravy on there, then you get a little more gravy on it. Fun fact up there, too, when you order all that stuff, they give you a free Dr. Pepper. So I said, okay, I'll take it. Big Dr. Pepper, right? So we ate it. Oh, by the way, yeah, just so you can kind of, there you go. You see the steak and the mashed potatoes and the corn. Okay, so we ate at Babes. Whew, it was amazing. And I probably don't have to tell you much about Babes. You've been there, so. Okay, take that one down. Thank you. Okay, I'm really hungry. So then after that, I figured to finish off the month and to just stay in my lane of being healthy, I needed to order some Tips treats. So some of you have probably never had Tips treats. So I want to say in advance, you're welcome, what I'm about to tell you. So Tips treats, the thing about Tips treats is it's a cookie delivery company. And their big thing is they want to deliver to you warm cookies, okay? That's their whole shtick, man. They're incredible cookies, but they're always warm. And you can pick your, I mean, they bring them to the front door for crying out loud. I mean, you know, the game's on, you wait to the commercial, you go get them, bring them back. The bottom of them is like warm, your hands are warming up a little bit. Open them up, and there's a little, oh, man, really, really good cookies, right? Oh, the picture I brought doesn't do it justice, really. I just wanted you to see the Tips treats down there. But chocolate chip, warm, M&M, sugar cookies, I mean, everything you can make them. And did I mention they bring them to your front door? Did I mention that? And did I mention that they're warm? I mean, these things, I can eat a dozen within one quarter of the game. I've done it. It just happens. I can't explain it. You just keep going. Incredible. Okay, you can take that now. Thank you. Now, here's why would you, you know, do that? Why are you showing us pictures of food? And here's why. This is what I want you to get. First of all, some of you are going to go to Olive Garden. I guarantee it. If not today, you're going this week. Some of you will probably go to Babes this afternoon. It's happened in the past when I've mentioned it. You've sent me pictures. Some of you are going to go to Babes. If not this week, if not today, you're going to go this week. And probably everybody in here is going to get cookies from Tiff Streets this week. I know that. Now, stay with me, okay? Here's why. Because I first spoke about it in an affirming, positive way. And then I showed you pictures of it. And that draws you to it. And that's exactly what he's saying right here. When he says, gracious and seasoned with salt and walk with wisdom. Walk with wisdom so they can see your faith. And then speak words of grace so they can hear about your faith. And when you do, that creates a desire for them to know more about your faith. And that leads you to the last one, which is takeaway number four, which is then what do? You share your hope. Oh, by the way, just as your loving pastor, I did want to give you the contact information for Tiff Streets. Right there it is, cookiedelivery.com, if you'd like to go there. And I'm telling you, they'll be there when you get home from church, right, for the game, okay? All right. So number four is you then, now when we have, again, I'm not talking about we're living perfect lives, you know, nor is that a license to sin, but I'm saying as we seek to walk in wisdom, you know, which is mean applying the truth of God's word in our life, and then we speak words of grace, especially in context of unbelievers, they hear you, they see you, they ask, and then number four, so look at that you share your hope. Let your speech always be gracious, seasoned with salt. So we just talked about that. Now, last part. So that you may know how you ought to answer each person. Answer is a circle in my Bible, a circle. How to answer each person. And so that's when we share the hope that we have in Christ. Because they've seen it and they're asking about our faith. Let me ask it another way. Where do you go to church? Let me ask it another way. I know you said you pray. Why do you pray? That may be how they are asking about the hope that you have. And then turn your share. 1 Peter 3:15, but in your hearts honor Christ the Lord as holy, always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you. It's not even what, tell them what Pastor Dave's hope is. It's what's your hope, the hope that is in you. Yet do it with gentleness and respect. There's the idea of grace seasoned with salt. Peter and then Paul in 1 Peter, and now Paul's writing in Colossians. Share the hope that you have when they ask you. And people ask me, and I pray for you too. When I share that hope, what am I sharing? I'm sharing the hope that I have in Jesus. That's evangelistic. By walking in wisdom, speaking words of grace, we have an opportunity then when people ask us to answer about the hope we have in Christ. Will you pray with me for just a moment with our heads bowed and eyes closed? Let me just ask you as we finish today, has there been a time in your life where you have surrendered your life to Jesus as Lord and Savior? Can you say, yes, I have hope in Christ because of my faith in Christ and my relationship in Christ? If you've never made that decision, if you've never surrendered your life to Christ, if you don't have that hope, today you can have that hope in Jesus. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed in just a moment, I'm going to pray. The Bible is very clear in Romans 3:23. All of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Every one of us. I have, you have. That sin has separated us from God. Romans chapter 6, the wages of sin is death. So we die separated from God. It's the bad news. The good news, the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. That's the second half of that passage. The gift of God is eternal life. He's talking about heaven in Jesus Christ our Lord. And Romans chapter 5 says, while we were yet sinners, Christ died. Jesus died on a cross for our sins. And John 1:12 says, for all who received him, he gave the right to become children of God. So if you've never received him, if you never prayed and trusted Jesus as Lord and Savior, I want to give you that opportunity. Heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. I'm going to pray a prayer based on the scriptures, what the scriptures say. If you desire to have Jesus, you can pray right where you're seated there, just silently between you and God. He knows your heart. I invite you to pray this prayer. Dear Lord Jesus, I confess, I've made mistakes in life. I am a sinner and I need a Savior. And today, I confess with my mouth and I believe in my heart that you, Jesus, died on the cross for my sins. I believe you rose again, proving you were God. Today, I ask you to forgive me of my sins, to cleanse me of all unrighteousness, and to be my Lord and Savior. From this day forward, I choose to follow you. Thank you for hearing my prayer. And thank you for saving me. Today, I surrender all to you. Thank you for hearing my prayer. In your name I pray these things. Amen and amen. Let's stand together. Will you stand with me? Let me just say, if you prayed that prayer, you can know for sure based on the authority of the scriptures that Christ lives in you, and we want to come alongside you here at Grace Point Church, pray for you, encourage you, walk with you as you begin your new life in Christ. We would love to hear from you. You can reach out to us. ihavedecided@gmail.com. You can speak to me at this back door. I'll be here. But we want to come alongside and encourage you in the days ahead as you begin your new life in Christ. Thank you so much for worshiping with us today. Let's continue to worship the Lord together.